Still continuing, we started yesterday the chapter on doing deeds with moderation, or doing worship in moderation, not being extreme and not self-imposing such ibadah upon ourselves and that we are unable to accomplish them. So keeping this, bearing this in mind, let's understand this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he has mentioned those who impose undue difficulties upon themselves, and then they will be destroyed. Rasulullah mentioned this 3 times. So again, we should understand that Shariat is so beautifully set out for us. It is easy to practice upon. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us the beautiful sunnah, the manner in which we should perform our salah, the different salat that we perform, the faraid, then the nafil, the sunnats, everything has been shown to us, the amount of raka'ats, then even the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, istighfar, all these waza'if, awrad, adhkar, tilawat of the Qur'an. The ibadat has been shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, a person should not now bring upon himself such difficulties in doing the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he becomes totally overwhelmed and incapable after some time, and then he becomes sick, and then he leaves that ibadat altogether. So yesterday I explained one simple example. We have read tahajjud salat. It is sunnah, it is important, highly emphasized. So in the beginning, when it's the first time we are performing reading about tahajjud, read 2 rakats. Then slowly, gradually increase it. A person should not just get some josh and start reading many rakats, and suddenly after some time, he gives it up altogether. And that is why Shariat brings about his actions in a very gradual process. Like a person who's sick, he goes to the doctor. He doesn't just take 5-6 tablets at one go. There is a prescription, there's a prescribed time and the amount of tablets he has to take. So Shariat is very considerate and worries about our well-being as well. So therefore, in this ahadith, we'll find more examples Rasulullah will give for us to understand this clearly. In the next hadith, narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الدين يسر. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned deen is easy. Deen is easy. Deen is not difficult. With the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have come here for fajr salah. Yes, there is a little bit of sacrifice, but fajr salah is only 4 rakats. The two sunnat of fajr is extremely, extremely emphasized. Sunnat mu'akkada. Inshallah, as we do the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, we'll understand from all the sunnats that we read for the day, the most important sunnah is the 2 sunnat of Fajr. In the hadith it is mentioned, even if you are being trampled by the horse, by the hooves of the horses, then too you should read your sunnat of Fajr. Of course, there's explanation now, if Jamaat has already begun and now the Imam is already in the 2nd rakat, so some say before the ruku of the 2nd rakat or before the ending of the 2nd rakat, if you are still able to read your 2 sunnat in the back, and then join in, then you should read your sunnat and then join in. But of course, if it's the last rakat now and you will miss your whole jamaat, then that's a different case. But our 2 sunnat of Fajr we are reading, that 2 sunnat of Fajr also you'll find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed it was very light. He didn't read very lengthy 2 sunnat of Fajr. Very light. Then the Fajr salat is a long salat. After Fajr, immediately there's no salat. And Rasulullah would sit and he finish his adhkar or whatever he had to do with Sahaba until sunrise. Then we read Ishraq Salat. Ishraq also, a person can read 2 rakats or 4 rakats. A person doesn't read from the entire day from after Ishraq right till Salatul Duha, charge, then right till Zawal. No. Shariat also worries about the fact that we have to earn some halal earnings. We have wives, we have children, we have other things to do. Yes, it exhausts a person to do nafil and give sadaqat and all ibadat. However, there is a way and a process a person should do it. Basically, a person should not exert himself to such an extent that he is unable and to cope after that. Therefore, Rasulullah mentions, وَلَيْ يُشَادَ الدِّينُ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. The simple meaning of this is that a person does not bring about himself difficulties and hardships in making ibadah, except that ibadah will overpower him, overwhelm him, in the explanation that I gave you now. فَسَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا وَابْشِرُوا وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالْغَدْوَةِ وَرَوْحَةِ وَشَيْءٍ مِنَ دُلْجَةِ رواه البخاري. Rasulullah then therefore says, take the moderate path. Don't become extreme. One is the person overdoes it. The opposite also person doesn't need any ibadah. Rasulullah says, take the moderate path. وَقَارِبُوا and come close to the middle way. وَأَبْشِرُوا and take glad tidings. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالْغَدْوَةِ وَرَوْحَ and make the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning part of the day, of the early hours of the day, the evening, and parts of the night. In other words, we have five times salah. In between also we have some nafil salah, which Rasulullah has shown us. Do all these ibadahs, seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these times. And the next hadith, in one riwayah, or fi riwayatin lahu, saddidu wa qaribu, means that you must be moderate, take the moderate path, and do as much as you are able to do. Waghdu wa ruhu wa shay'un min adulja. Al-qasta tablughu. If you take the moderate path, then you will reach your destination. We see in any example, by way of example, a person is running the marathon. He's running from Pietermaritzburg. When he starts off, he starts with a very high speed. He hardly reaches a few k's and already he drops half dead. He's unable to continue his race. A person who's a very skillful runner, or in the hadith, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has explained, a person who's a skillful, he's a frequent flyer, for example. He's a musafir, he travels quite often. He's going from here to Johannesburg. He knows what time of the day to leave. He knows where to make his stops. He knows the speed limits. And very easily he reaches his destination. When he reaches his destination, he's not tired. Unlike a person the first time he's going, now he's unaware of the speed limit even. Or he suddenly drives very fast and he does not know where to stop. By the time he reaches Johannesburg, he's exhausted. In the exact same way, our ibadat that we do it in such a way, and you gradually increase, and then you become skillful in your ibadah, and you reach your destination, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Imam Nawawi rahmatullah has mentioned, that istaeenu ala ta'atillah, seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His obedience. How? Bil a'mali, with doing good deeds, fi waqti nashatikum, when you are alert, you are awake, you have the energy. It's not when you are tired. When a person is feeling very sleepy and drowsy, Sharia tells you, now you must go and rest, then wake up and accomplish your ibadah. It doesn't mean every day a person, salah time, now he goes to sleep. But it happens sometime a person was traveling. And now he needs to read his tilawat of the Quran. Now he's sleeping, he's dozing off. At that time he does not know where he started, where he's sleeping, where he has reached, he's forgetting, he's starting the ruku every time again, he's falling off to sleep. Perhaps instead of making istighfar, he might be using some other language against himself. Therefore, Sharia tells you when you are nashat. Nashat means you are vibrant, you've got the energy, you are awake, you are alert. At that time, make your ibadah. وَفَرَاغِ قُلُوبِكُمْ And very important that your hearts must be free from all other thoughts of the dunya. بِحَيْثُ تَسْتَلِذُونَ الْعِبَادَةِ Sharia wants us to enjoy our ibadah. Sharia wants us to, Allah Ta'ala wants us to enjoy our ibadah. Ibadah mustn't be done very haphazardly and just... we just speed over ibadah. No, person should enjoy lazzat of the ibadah. وَلَا تَسْأَمُونَ And you should not get tired. وَتَبْلُغُونَ مَقْصُودَكُمْ And then in this way you will reach your destination. You will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَمَا أَنَّ الْمُسَافِرْ الْحَادِقِ Like a skillful traveler, يَسِيرُ فِي هَذِي الْأَوْقَاتِ He travels either early part of the morning, early part of the evening. He knows which time of the day. He won't travel when it's very, very hot. So he knows the times in which he travels. وَيَسْتَرِيحُ هُوَ وَدَابَّتُهُ He and his animal, of course, we have cars now also, there's wear and tear. A person cannot drive all the time. So there are times when he'll take a break and he will rest. Or in those times, his animals will rest. فِي غَيْرِهَا In times when he's not now traveling, so he'll rest in those times. What will happen then? فَيَصِلُ الْمَقْصُودَ بِغَيْرِ تَعَبٍ He'll reach his destination without any exhaustion. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. And the Sahaba had to be told to bring balance in the ibadah because they went to extreme. And you will see the next hadith, how the Sahaba, they exerted themselves in ibadah. So Rasulullah will tell him now to curtail the ibadah and lessen it, lighten it to come to the middle path. In our case, maybe with the other extreme, hardly any ibadah in our life. So we have to try and bring this nafil in our life to come to the moderate path. May Allah give all of us tawfiq, ridaya to make amal. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.